Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a very important spotlight on the Southwest tonight. Thanks for being a part of listening in. The exciting conversation we're going to have for the first show, Down to Earth show of 2013, is all about buffelgrass, and it's an invasive species which is truly a severe threat to our wildlands, to our urban environment, and we will make the point for people's lives because of its threat in terms of fire danger. And joining me tonight are Lindy Bingham.
Brigham.
See, I got it wrong, and I changed the thing. Lindy Brigham, who is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Buffelgrass Coordination Center. And just knowing that there is the importance of this level to have a center to address it, we're going to get into that. And Claire Zucker, who is the director of sustainable environment at Pima Association of Governments. Claire, welcome back. It's nice to have you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And what I want to say is both of them bring very impressive backgrounds to the show in the area of both scientific research and sustainability planning, among your many other accomplishments. If I read both of your bios, it would take 10 minutes of the show, so people can check them out. You can email me for more information. I'm very pleased to welcome both of you here tonight and hope we can fit everything that we can into the show about buffelgrass. And I always have to do this quick little shout out about Mrs. Green because my guests and their topics are so important for the planet. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, all of which you can follow me by visiting my website at mrsgreensworld.com. And please join me every Saturday at noon for my one-hour show where I interview guests from all over the country about every topic of sustainability that you can imagine. I will have this week Rafe Sagarin, who is an author and a human being extraordinaire, talking about Learning from the Octopus, his latest book. So let's get on with the show. I'd like to thank Pima Association of Governments for their support of Mrs. Green's World and being one of our great partners, and for everything they do to make a difference for the community and the planet. So let's start off. Before we go into anything, let's mention the website as many times as we can so that people know where to find information about this and about the event you're having on January 26th.
Right. So we have Beat Back Buffelgrass Day. This is going to be the sixth annual Beat Back Buffelgrass Day, where we invite the entire community to come out and lend a hand. And you can get information at www.buffelgrass.org. We have sites all over the city. And this year, we actually have two sites in Phoenix for listeners who are in Phoenix that would like to participate.
So it's invading Phoenix, or do you want them to come down here and help?
No, it's in Phoenix also. They have a problem, and they need to deal with it also.
And it's growing. So, no pun intended. And I want people to know that buffelgrass is spelled B-U-F-F-E-L. And I think that if you're looking for it on Google, you want to make sure that you know it's B-U-F-F-E-L. And I would normally spell it B-U-F-F-L-E. There goes the English language. So, Lindy, you are the executive director of the Center to Beat Back Buffelgrass. I love alliteration. And tell me how it got here and why it has grown to be such a threat. It is an invasive species, correct?
Yes.
And what that means, somebody brought it here.
Well, invasive species can be native or non-native.
Okay.
It's a matter of how fast is it growing and is it outcompeting the plants that are in the area that you want to protect. It was actually brought to the United States for cattle grazing. It was brought into Texas for the cattle industry. It was brought into Arizona for erosion control. Around in the 1950s, it was brought into Tucson to test for erosion control. And it was actually planted on mine tailings in the 80s.
So it was kind of a good intention to help with erosion, but boy, talk about good intentions gone awry.
That's true of a lot of the, we try to do something good, we think that we have an answer, and it gets away from us. And that's one of the problems with invasive species.
Mother Nature takes over, and mm-hmm. it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. I'm that old that I remember that commercial. So I want to ask you also, is it an issue just for the deserts, or should we worry about it in the urban environment, in the infill areas? Is it growing everywhere, popping up everywhere?
That's the interesting thing about buffalo grass, is that it is so well adapted to this area that it is growing everywhere. And certainly our wildlands are very special to us. I mean, that's why a lot of people come to Arizona, and certainly southern Arizona, and we really have to protect our wildlands. The thing about buffalo grass is that it also adapted itself to the urban environment. And because it is so well adapted, and because it burns so hot and so fast, it really is a very big threat to our urban setting.
And that ties us into what I said in the intro of the show, because when Claire, bless you, gave me such good research to prepare for the show, I said, Claire, you did my show for me, and I appreciate that for you, kiddo. But they're very important questions that we want to focus on. One of the quotes you sent with me, a statistic to me, is it can burn an area the size of a football field in 3 minutes with temperatures up to 1,400 degrees. I'm reading that correctly.
That's correct.
That's very,
it can
very,
melt aluminum.
Oh, and it puts the firefighters at great risk, and I would dare say structures, homes, because if it's that invasive, it knows no borders.
Well, if you can imagine a vacant land in an urban environment where you have a buffalo grass fire start, it can spread through that land, it can leap over fences, it can get into the native vegetation in the private property, and it can set the house on fire. So those sorts of things, we need to be looking at this in a really integrated way. We need to look at our roadsides, we need to look at our vacant lands inside of our urban environment, and also at our homes, and say, well, do I have buffalo grass coming right up against my house? What can I do about that? Can I clear that out? And it's really important to know how to identify it and also how to remove it. And you can find all of that information on the website, which is
we'll bring up again.
Bufflegrass.org.
That's great.
Yeah. So you can find that information out. That's really critical for your personal safety and for the well-being of your property.
And these are the times when I wish it was a video and an audio show so that we could show some clips about what it looks like.
That's on the website too.
See, there you go.
Amazing. You should think of that.
I thought of that all by myself. So I'm definitely going to put that link when I am doing my social media piece about really promoting the show. And I always like to tell people, lots of my shows are listened to by podcast because people like to listen in their own time. It's the way of the world. So I will put that up and put some really good talking points that you've given me to share about why people in Southern Arizona should care. And I have to go like off point a little bit, but it is related. So when you say our wildlands, for our peace of mind and connecting with nature, we go down to places like Patagonia, to the Nature Conservancy, and we go to places like Sabino Canyon. So when you talk about the wildlands, which are all around us, which is why we see so many wonderful things here, can you give us a few specific areas in Pima County or Southern Arizona that are at risk right now?
Well, at this point in time, Saguaro National Park is one of our jewels that has been invaded, and they are putting a lot of time and effort
and
energy.
East and west?
East and west, yes. The Coronado National Forest, the foothills of Tucson and the Coronado National Forest have a lot of buffalo grass.
And, you know, lots of people from around the country listen to my shows, and they come to Tucson, and they tell me they went to Sea of Green, which is one of the shops that is a sponsor. So people listen, and if you come to Tucson, you want to go to Saguaro Monument. When we had tourists come from back east, because I'm a Jersey girl, we always brought them there because it's majestic and wonderful and unique because of the number of saguaros that you can see. And if they're in bloom, it's quite a tourist place. So I had no idea that was one of the biggest areas that are threatened. So it knows no boundaries. Okay, Claire, why is PAG involved? Pima Association of Governments.
Because we're everybody.
You're everybody. Big brother, PAG.
No, but we are a we're basically an organization that represents all the jurisdictions. And our board of directors actually consists of an elected official from each of our jurisdictions in the region. And this is a problem that knows no boundaries. It goes from, an urban environment into a natural environment. It goes from, Marana to Oro Valley to Pima County to the city of Tucson to Sarita. I mean, it's everywhere. So our regional council feels that this is a real concern and supports PAG. That's right. Yes. Supports PAG to support SABC. And one of the key...
I love that. Yeah. SABC. I'm going to be using that
too. Oh, SABC. Yeah. That we haven't actually used that yet.
No, we haven't used that.
No. Southern Arizona Buffalo Grass.
No, and SABC.
Yeah. Southern Arizona Buffalo Grass Coordination Center. Right. SABC. But one of the key reasons PAG's involved is that we are a transportation organization fundamentally. And Buffalo Grass seeds actually are caught in tires in vehicles, and that's how it moves. So you'll see
you
that
are
it
kidding
moves
me.
Down a road.
Mm-hmm.
So our organization is tied in because we're very concerned with transportation corridors, with infrastructure, and because the Buffalo Grass is moving down the road, that's where it's growing. So it threatens that infrastructure and the roadway system. So we're concerned about it.
And this is, I always come back to point, Lindy, trust me, I do. Claire knows this, but when you have a day like Beat Back Buffalo Grass, which we will again repeat on January 26th, is it like putting your finger in the dike, or does it really, if enough people show up, is there hope? I guess that's the ultimate question I have. Like, can we fight it? Can we beat it back?
The main thing about Beat Back Buffalo Grass Day is to give it, to introduce people to the idea that I haven't heard before.
Awareness.
Awareness is the main thing. You can actually do an awful lot with people that volunteer to work. We have an amazing group of volunteers that work all year that have made a real difference in specific areas. One of the things about Buffalo Grass being invasive and being everywhere is, and as Clara mentioned, the transportation is every single entity has to do their part. Because, okay, say if Saguaro National Park really got rid of all of their Buffalo Grass, but people driving into it along the roadways were bringing it in again, then it's all for naught.
It's just coming right back.
Right. And so the main issue here is that everybody has to do their part. Everywhere across the landscape. And so this is about making people aware of what Buffalo Grass is, how to remove it, and then they can go back to their own neighborhood associations and homeowners associations and say, here's what we have to do in our area to protect the rest of Pima County.
And one of the things I love about this partnership with PAG is that I'm not a big government basher. I'm not, because I love the Postal Service. I think they go to areas and they do wonderful things. This is our tax dollars at work. And I don't think people understand all of the good things that are happening with the municipalities. I mean, that's tax money.
Well,
you've gotten federal grants.
It's federal. Yeah.
It's federal. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So tell us, you want to talk about the big grant that was just, was it?
Well, Lindy should talk
Lindy,
about that.
Talk
that
about
is her
that.
Brainchild and mm-hmm. hard.
And I really, I feel
hard,
like, you know,
hard won success.
Ring the bell. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm going to ring the bell right now. And what's happening right now at 10:10, we're recording this in the morning, is a remembrance to the shootings that happened here in Tucson. So it's so serendipitous that I looked at the clock and rang the bell, but ring the bell for this good news about the grant. So talk about that, Lindy.
Well, let me back up a little bit and explain what SABC is and then why we went for this kind of grant. So the Southern Arizona Buffalo Grass Coordination Center really is a group effort. It's all of the land managers and the people, the federal, state, local, people who needed to deal with Buffalo Grass and needed a mechanism to share resources and bring resources to the community to deal with it. So they put a strategic plan together, and one of the recommendations of the strategic plan was to put this center together so that people could work across all the different boundaries, federal and state and local. It was developed in December of 2008. We became a nonprofit right when the economy was tanking, right?
Yes.
Okay. So finding resources has not been easy. Everybody's done their part, and people have done an amazing amount with almost nothing. But we looked around for resources, because this is a huge, huge effort, as you can see, and it's going to take a lot of money as well as people's hard work. We have been working with the Office of Emergency Management, and again, as one of our partners. And they said, would this be a possibility? Because FEMA has pre-disaster mitigation grants. And
what a concept.
Exactly.
Instead of waiting for the fire and coming in and cleaning up.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, everybody knows FEMA as going in after disaster.
After the, yes.
But they would really like not to have to do that.
Prevention in some area
exactly.
of the world. That's wonderful.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we brought some partners together to say, who can work on this at this point? Who has, you know, almost like the project ready type of concept? And the airport came forward, and we
Tucson Airport Authority,
Tucson Airport Authority, because they have a very larger. So FEMA is looking to protect high value infrastructure and health and human safety, and you have all of that at the airport.
And all of that with proximity to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
Exactly.
When you talk about health and human safety, there it's all part of it.
Exactly.
Like Claire said, it knows no boundaries. Mm-hmm. It will jump over the fence.
We said, well, none of us have any experience in doing this. Why don't we do a practice run? And lo and behold, we got it. It was awarded to
Arizona. 3.2? $3.4 million.
$3.4 million, mm-hmm. But who's counting? I mean, that is so...
That's a huge, huge grant.
Mm-hmm. And on so many levels. So did that help provide you with more staffing and more, you know, capabilities
Absolutely.
To integrate this in this massive process?
Absolutely. So with this, we were able to hire a project manager for the grant, and PAG is also providing funding for the project manager. And so it's really, really worked out well.
That's great. I mean, what a gift, mm-hmm. honestly, to this mm-hmm. community. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the fire risk. And what are we talking here? So have there been examples of fires in Pima County? I believe there have. You can give us real life examples. So how big of a risk does it come when we're going to rapidly start warming up in the next few months? And who knows, the rainfall was down last year.
Next few years.
Next few years, probably for the rest of my life, which just means I'm old. So tell us about the level of risk that we've seen so far and what kind of things have happened.
Well, we've already seen a lot of brush fires and an increase in brush fires. And it's hard to know which of those brush fires are totally buffalo grass, but if they are a brush fire, they're very likely buffalo grass is involved. And that what that means when buffalo grass is involved is that you need more firefighters. They need to come there more quickly. It takes longer to put out the blaze. It can move to associated property more quickly. So all of those risks that are embedded in a buffalo grass in a brush fire are sort of amplified when you introduce buffalo grass into the system.
So when you start talking about that, the massive challenge of getting the word out, the public information piece, is that a part of what the federal grant allows for? Because I was thrilled that this was a topic that was chosen for my show tonight. So I will be a part of spreading the word, a very little part, but significant mm-hmm. to people who haven't heard it. How do you begin to get the word out to the million people that live within Pima County and to some of the other regions? I mean, there are so many points of entry that are possible.
That's actually part of what the grant provides, is outreach to the community. So for each, so we actually have two areas we're working on. The airport is one, and then the Mission Adult Detention Complex is the other. And there's a 2-mile radius around a buffer area where all of those people will be notified, and we'll do education and outreach to them, and we will also help them do mitigation in those areas.
So things like talking to Rotary clubs, even like mm-hmm. that, is that one of the things where you do public speaking and presentations?
We do that on a regular basis, yes.
So you'll uh-huh. be coming to my Rotary club, and I will give them the card. So because I think those are aware, engaged, informed people that really, if they're in a Rotary club, they're about service. So we can really make that happen.
Idea.
I know Rotary clubs, you know, I've been in for 20 years, and it's just it never ceases to amaze me the things that we help, you know, with changing the world. Claire, what about in terms of the myriad of challenges that PAG faces, helps solve, and gets involved with? When you talked about something as minute as the seeds getting on tires, what do you do about that? I mean, do you begin when it's so vast?
Yeah, that's a really good
question.
How
do you get the seeds out of my tires?
You don't do it alone. You do it
as a
community. And the more you get the buffalo grass away from the road, the less access it has to the tires. And it is sort of an ongoing challenge that we're always going to face. But I am very happy to see it building in sort of community recognition. Sorry, I recently received a notice for the Mayor's Green Roundtable and Environmental Roundtable, and it's one of six issues. Now, the reason it's one of six or seven issues is that we went to those meetings and we said, this is an important issue. The more we all do that, the more it gets on and stays on the radar. And this is something that you can personally affect. There aren't that many, you know, environmental issues.
You can feel like you make a difference.
You can go out and you can actually make a change in your community, in your neighborhood, in your home. So I think it's very personally empowering, unlike a lot of other things, which are maybe managed by governments or regional entities or
right,
just
where
or
to
outside
put a bridge
your control.
For animal crossing
exactly.
is not something I'm going
this
to get
This is
involved
something
with. Yeah.
you, your listeners, your you know, your, our community as a whole can go and actually be a part of the success, of part of the solution. So I think it's a really unique environmental opportunity for involvement.
And my first newsletter of the year was about that. It was all about connection, and don't think for 1 minute that you cannot make a difference. In some way, whether it's adopting a family, adopting a piece of highway, getting involved in a nonprofit, writing a blog, I just think that this is the year of people feeling empowered and stepping up for whatever cause this is. And something like this, which is a threat to every one of us that lives here in Southern Arizona, is really, I agree with you, it's just a very empowering thought. Now, other than the Beat Back Buffalgrass Day on the 26th, tell us about some of the other ongoing things, like you said, volunteers, which never cease to amaze me. In this recession, they kept places like Sabino Canyon open. Mm-hmm. I mean, the docents at places and the volunteers. So from one January to the next, what are the kinds of things that volunteers are out there doing and organizing, and how could people get involved in that piece of it?
There are lots of volunteer opportunities every single week and month. There are, and we have them on the website. We have a calendar up there, and we have volunteer opportunities. They're called weed whackers, most of them. They have weed whacking groups.
Love
Isn't
it.
That great?
Oh, my gosh. Do they go out there with a weed whacker?
No. No. It's a different weed whacker.
It's the personal touch of
weed
whacker.
You can't just whack it with a weed whacker.
Yeah, that's probably an important point to make, that you don't want to use a weed whacker on it.
It'll grow back.
And you spread the seeds.
And you spread the seeds around.
Oh, okay.
Right.
No
so you,
weed whacking.
You want
literally.
To pull them up, or you want to spray them. But so these groups go out. So the Tucson Mountain Park has a group that goes out every other week. There's people in the parks. There are groups that go out and help in the parks. And Tucson Clean and Beautiful has a program.
Love them.
They work with us, and in fact Tucson Clean and Beautiful is working with us on the FEMA grant to do work in the outreach in the communities.
And talk about a cadre of volunteers. I mean, mm-hmm, they're always mm-hmm. recognizing someone for adopting a park or adopting a piece mm-hmm. of the street. There's mm-hmm. so many really wonderful right. things to put the highlight on in Tucson.
You can just dig it out, or you can use Roundup when it's greening. So that's a very commonly used herbicide in your in your yard, just when it's greening, go ahead and do that, or dig it out by the roots.
So I have to ask you this, and you are much...
Put it in garbage.
You're bag it. Okay, you're not a plastic bag. Just put it in your garbage, because I'm the anti-plastic bag queen. But
okay.
There's got to be a way. I know. But I want to ask you about that, and it's very... It's a very... not touchy, but a very sensitive subject in terms of my beliefs about Roundup and how this might be one. Is this one instance where it's the greater good? It's the lesser of two evils, I want to say, where you would actually use Roundup? Because we got rid of all Roundup in our environment here, and it's because of what it does to the...
Well,
how do you weigh those, is my question.
Herbicides have commonly been overused,
right,
and they are used improperly. So they're used when it's very dry. They're used when it's wet, and you don't want to apply an herbicide and then have it rain and wash
to
away.
Other places.
So you have to think about how you actually use it. But there are elderly people and people who are not as physically able to pull out Buffelgrass that may need to use those resources.
That's what I mean. There's a time. Mm-hmm. There's in my world of being Mrs. Green, it's just gotten grayer. It's not black and white. There aren't a lot of simple, easy answers to all these challenges.
And on the large scale landscape, it would be physically impossible to get enough people out to pull all the Buffelgrass, and it would do more damage actually to the wildlands that we have. So it is sort of a lesser of two evils that it's a tool that we have that's probably the only one that's going to work on these large landscapes.
And you have to recognize that. To me, people ask me questions all the time, and I say, you want a simple answer? I wish I had it, because then we could solve the problem. So it's really not a simple answer.
It is.
I mean, it really is. For this incredible challenge that we have. And Lindy or Claire, being involved in other, you know, not just Tucson organizations and partnering, is there any place else besides, you know, you said it came from Texas. Is it kind of like the killer bees where it's making its way up? Because you said it is now in Phoenix. Are there any places that it's also invading? And have there been any remarkable solutions that you know of? Successes?
It actually was brought to Australia also.
It's on someone's tire problems. Or on their shoes?
No, it was brought for the cattle industry again. And again, has been invasive. There's actually an incredible video of a fire in Australia that was so intense it caused a tornado. So there's a fire tornado. It's spectacular. And I'll give you the link to that you can put on. It's really something to see. Hawaii, it was also brought into Hawaii
for the cattle. I didn't even know
and
they had so
problem.
Many cattle in Hawaii till I went there. It's like, cattle in Hawaii? You got to be
on
kidding me.
On the Big Island, yes. So no one has really come up with a good solution now. It's going to take a lot of hard work by a lot of people. There are people doing studies on different chemicals that might be used and different techniques, and there's people who are doing studies on restoration. So again, Saguaro National Park is doing some good studies on restoration after you remove Buffelgrass. But there, again, there's no silver bullets, and there's no one answer for all different areas.
So this is going to so make me sound like a scientist. And I mean, Claire, it's okay if you laugh out loud, because I don't claim to be a scientist. It's not what I'm doing in the world. But is there any example of another species that has been introduced that eats the Buffelgrass? Do you know what I mean? It's like, so you bring someone up that's a little bit higher up on the food chain at survival of the fittest? That's an awful question, but it did pop in.
Well, cattle eat Buffelgrass, but...
It's not the best for them.
It's not... No. The question
so
is...
So it was brought in for cattle, and it's not even that great for them.
Well, the question is, you know, what are you going to introduce something that's even worse?
Right.
That's always the issue.
Unintended consequences.
And now we should have at least learned from that we can't do this, and don't bring in any invasive species, and don't let your boa constrictors loose if you live near the Everglades. It's just like, be mindful, be connected to the planet. So we have about 2 minutes left. Talk a little bit about the event on January 26th, and your center is the center, coordination center, Southern Arizona Buffalo Grass Coordination Center. I love it. And Claire, Director of Sustainable Environment of Pima Association of Governments, like to say that again. So tell us about the 26th before we have to end this show that flew by faster than a speeding bullet.
The 6th annual Beat Back Buffalo Grass Day. We would love everybody to come out. There are sites all over Tucson and two in Phoenix, and you can sign up at bufflegrass.org.
And it's U-F-F-E-L.
Great. Yeah, you can. The tools will be there for you. You don't have to worry about that. We'll have vests so that you know are spotted from the road.
Do people bring their own gloves?
It's good to bring your own gloves, but we actually have gloves. There's many sites all over town, so don't miss it. It's really actually a great community event. It's really fun.
It sounds like it's fun.
It's great.
At one site, the Kennedy site, the U of A softball team will be out there.
Love it. And love it. Community.
And the mayor will be proclaiming it Beat Back Buffalo Grass Day.
I love it. And I love saying that. Beat Back Buffalo Grass Day. You can be a part of it. Claire and Lindy, thank you so much for being with me. And we will spread the word to everyone in Mrs. Green's world.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for what you're doing to make a difference.